I had to admire this little guy's courage. Fraiden. His name was James Arthur Fraiden, with a string of letters after it that even the alphabet agencies down at Washington could not have unscrambled. The letters represented honorary degrees conferred on him by half a dozen different colleges, and they should have entitled him to be heard with respectful consideration. But they weren't. The assembled scientists of the Institute of Radio Engineers were giving him merry hell. "What you are saying, Fraiden," one of the scientists interrupted hotly, "is gross nonsense." "It is absolutely impossible," another shouted. "Faker," somebody yelled, and a dozen voices took it up until the room echoed with the sound. I sat back and grinned to myself. If this meeting ended in a free-for-all fight, which was what looked like was due to happen, I would be able to make a swell human interest humorous yarn out of it. My editor went for human interest stuff, which was largely why he had sent me down to cover this meeting. He knew I wasn't likely to develop any front-page news here, scientific meetings being what they are. But there might be a human interest angle that would be good for a laugh. And the way these solemn scientists were calling Fraiden a liar, it looked like the laugh was coming. There was one man who wasn't doing any name-calling, I noticed. A tall, cadaverous-looking individual sitting two seats down from me. He had listened very carefully, almost eagerly, I thought, to everything the speaker had said. Glancing at him, I got the impression that I should know him, but at the moment, I couldn't place him. Tall, bony face, thin, hawk nose, yes. It seemed I should know him. Fraiden had stopped speaking when the storm of abuse broke over him. He stood there on the platform, a little white-haired guy with a gentle face. "If you numbskulls will only be quiet for a moment," he said, when the noise had subsided for an instant, "I will offer incontrovertible proof to support my statement that radio waves are transmitted through what I must, for lack of a better term to describe the undescribable, call the fourth dimension. What I mean, the roof must have been nailed down tight, or the explosion that followed would certainly have lifted it off the building. You never did see so many excited scientists in one group. Normally a scientist is supposed to be a cool, aloof, and impersonal. But this group was anything else. They went right straight up in the air. I couldn't tell whether they were angrier because he had called them a bunch of numbskulls, or because he had said that radio waves were transmitted through the fourth dimension. One of them leaped to his feet. Ramson, I think his name was. He was a big shot in the field, almost as big as DeForest and Marconi. "Fraiden," he yelled, "that is the most preposterous statement I ever heard from the lips of any man in his right senses. It raises the immediate question of whether or not you are in your right senses." There was a buzz of approval following his statement. Fraiden waited for it to die down. "And Mr. Ramson," he said, "you have chosen to challenge my theory. Perhaps you can tell me what medium does carry the electromagnetic radiations that we call radio waves?" "Certainly," Ramson answered. "Any schoolboy knows that." "We are not here concerned with the knowledge of schoolboys," Fraiden gently replied. "Sound is carried in the air and water and by many solid substances. But we know that radio waves do not travel in air because they will pass through a perfect vacuum. In what medium do they travel, Mr. Ramson?" Right here was where I began to pay close attention. Something about Fraiden's manner, his calmness, his certainty, gave me the impression that he knew pretty much what he was talking about. "Radio waves, Mr. Fraiden," Ramson answered, "in the manner of a schoolmaster revealing the facts of life to an errant Boy Scout, travel in the ether." He was right.